Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Berwyn United Methodist Church podcast. I'm so glad you could join me today as we dive into God's Word and explore the profound messages that Scripture holds for us. For those who are new to our podcast, each week we provide a condensed version of our worship service, including an opening prayer, the reading of Scripture, the sermon, and the pastoral prayer. My hope is that these reflections and teachings bring you closer to the love and presence of God in your life. In today's message, we will be exploring the story of Abram and Sarai, diving into themes of faith, doubt, promise, and trust. We'll look at how God's promises were tested and how Abram's journey can resonate with our own life experiences, especially in times of uncertainty. I pray that as you listen, you'll be inspired and uplifted. Before we proceed to our scripture reading, let's join Pastor Kevin in prayer.
Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you call us as your people, that you are not ashamed to cling to us, to invite us into your household, to unite us together as brothers and sisters. We ask in these moments that when we have doubt, when we have questions, when we are unsure of the future, we may look up as if to see the stars themselves, knowing that you are there and your promises are true. We ask this, that in this time of worship and of hearing your word read and proclaimed, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would enliven our faith and spirit and give us the courage and the trust to hear your promises and to know they will come. We ask the same with Christ.
Amen.
Hear the word of God from Genesis 15, verses 1 to 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from the book of Hebrews. This is found in your Pew Bible at page 225 of the New Testament. We're going to chapter 11, verses 8 to 16. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was not to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has the foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith, without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had been left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We covered a lot of ground this week in the narrative lectionary. If you look on our website, you can see readings that follow along from the week that we just talked about to the week that we're in now. It's a great way of following along in this overarching story from Genesis to the early church that we do each year. Just last week, we talked about the garden and with Adam and Eve, and how Eve and Adam, though they had walked with God, though they could converse with God, they had this intimate experience of the presence of God, they are deceived in asking, what did God really want of them, instead of asking for themselves. As a result, they lost out on the promises God gave them. He gave them a place to live of security and safety and exploration. He gave them a promise of offspring to be fruitful and fill the earth. They lost out on that right relationship with God, one another, and all of creation. The rest of the stories we've covered this week bear out that brokenness. Whether it's the story of Noah and the flood, the Tower of Babel, God has still been faithful to God's promise. And God is still faithful today. We begin in this story of Abram, where things have already happened in Abram's life that God was involved with. Abram was in a foreign land, living in a land that God had called him to step out of, to go someplace new, to go someplace where he would be a stranger, to go someplace that wasn't his home and wasn't where he was safe and secure, to take his wife with him, Sarai, in that promise of a new place, a new land that they would have as his own, was a promise of a future, a promise of future descendants that would fill the earth. Not just for Abram's sake, but we remember from this initial promise that God was blessing Abram and sending him out and giving him children so that he would be a blessing to the whole world. And Abram went. Abram went from this place that he had called home, and he went to this strange land, and a good deal of time has passed. And we hear in today's passage, if we hear it just right, we don't hear Abram just talking to God and saying, well, what's going on here? There's some accusation in his voice. You promised me children, and they haven't come. You have promised me a land, and you promised me descendants, and my wife is still barren. What's going on? God, when are you going to do what you promised? There was some doubt in his voice. There was some doubt in God's promises. There was some doubt in the future he was promised. He just wanted some assurance that God was still there, that God's promises were true, that he could trust and have faith. How many of you have been there? How many of you thought for sure God was leading you, facing the unknown, an unknown place, unknown people, unknown future, and you didn't know whether God was there or if God was going to fulfill his promises? You were caught in doubt. God, are you really there? God, is this really what you want me to do? God, when are you going to do what you promised you would do? When are you going to show up? I'd be surprised if there's no one in the room that never came to that point, asking those questions or something like them. In that point of indecision and doubt, calling out to God, saying, God, just speak to me, show me, tell me what I'm supposed to do, tell me that you're still there, tell me that I can still trust you, because my doubt in this moment is really strong. Sure. My faith is going to hold out any longer. This is where Abram is. He has left everything he's known, and he's unsure of the future and caught in that in-between space between God calling and the fulfillment of God's promises. Abram only has the ability to cry out to God. You promised me this. Where are you? Now, fortunately for Abram, God answers. God's voice calls down. God points to the stars above and says, look at the stars in the sky and count them if you even can. Your descendants will outnumber these stars. God doesn't give Abram what he's asking for right away. God doesn't immediately make things better. God doesn't immediately erase the doubts. God points to the stars that are always there. This isn't a new rainbow in the heavens following the rains saying, I will never destroy the earth again by flood. This isn't some new sign that Abram had no access to before this moment, but God is calling him to see what is already there and says, look, notice and see. And then he puts a different spin on what's always been there to begin with. I don't know if Abram's doubt is erased completely, but I do know his faith is restored. In our lives, we often pit doubt and faith against each other, saying, well, if you have faith, there is no room for doubt, no room for questioning. We think it's wrong to question God and to say, God, what's going on here? Where are you and what are you going to do? We see that as a weakness, something to avoid. We try to shut down this part of us that is true and there and nagging at our spirit because we think it's a sign that we don't trust God. I think Abram still had those questions. Because we know in the next part of the story that we don't cover in our weeks ahead, there were still questions of how God was going to fulfill God's promise. Sarah remains barren for some time, to the point where she offers her slave to Abram to produce an heir. His name is Ishmael. There's still questions of whether or not God was going to do what God promised. They have to figure out what they're going to do next because of it. In that story, we see that their doubts and questioning and their inability to go to God and say, what do you want? Just like in the garden, that leads to them taking that action. Eventually, Abram and Sarah had their own son. Their names are changed from Abram and Sarai to Abraham and Sarah. Even then, the relationship is never quite the same as we read through the story. It's that same brokenness that started in the garden that carries through even till today. And then we get this reading in Hebrews. It's a restatement of the end of our Genesis passage, that God saw his righteousness and it reckoned it to him. And we talk of in Hebrews that Paul says that Abram knew the promises, he received the promises, but he trusted in God knowing that he would never see the fulfillment of those promises. And he talked as living strangers on earth, knowing that those promises would happen, but he would not see it. If there's any description that shows our modern life and our modern understanding of faith and where we are now, in my mind, it's that one. I've said it before and I say it again, we are a people who live between what was and what will be. We are a people that live between the resurrection of Christ and the promise of restoration and reconciliation and the fulfillment of all things where righteousness will rain down, where justice will flow like an unending stream, where there will be no more war and violence. We are living in that in-between as people of the promise, people who have been told by Christ that the way things are not the way things are going to be, and to look forward and trust. And like Abram, we enter into times of doubt and struggle and questioning, saying, how long, O God, when will this be? How long must there still be division and hate? How long must we speak against our neighbors? How long will pain and suffering endure? And when will you finally come? And we can taste and see the promises that you've offered. And when we get to those points of questioning, those points of doubt, those points of wondering, what if instead of saying, no, I can't ask those questions, no, I can't be angry at God, no, I can't explore these things and these doubts, I can't express the doubts that I'm feeling, instead of saying all of those things, usually around tragedy, people will say, well, I know I'm not supposed to be angry at God right now, but I really am. I know I shouldn't be doubting God's plans right now, but I really am. What if part of Abram's faith is expressing those doubts, expressing the questions, pointing his finger at God and saying, "You promised me this. When's it going to happen?" If we reject God, if we don't believe God is there, if we don't think God is listening and with us, there's really no point of shaking our finger at him. If we believe honestly that he's not there or doesn't care, then our finger wagging means nothing. It's the very fact that we trust God enough to fulfill his promises. We trust God enough that he is with us and beside us on the journey. We trust God enough that he will make happen what he has told us he will do, and that he cares about what we're going through, that our questions and our finger wagging make any real difference. They are a sign of our faith, not a lack of it. So maybe in these moments, in this in-between time, when we are caught between what was promised and its fulfillment, living as strangers on this earth, what if in these times where, yes, we express doubt and questions, we need to look with new eyes, see the stars above in a new way, see the signs in our community where healing happens, where reconciliation is at play, where there are people on the street saying that how we treat our neighbors matter, that how we live on this earth makes a difference, that say that we do not lie for a common good. There are signs that Jesus's reconciliation, the restoration of those relationships broken in the garden between humans and God, humans and one another, humans and creation, there are signs of reconciliation at work already, and we either don't see them, don't recognize them, or don't know what to do with them. Maybe in these moments we need to ask for the Spirit to speak to us and show us those signs, just like God's voice spoke to Abram and said, "Look at the stars. Look at the stars and trust. See, I am already in your midst doing a new thing. Just open your eyes and see it, and then join it." The reality is, we live in a world of delay. We live with a God who has his own time, his own purposes, his own plan. We are not aware of them fully. We don't know when they're going to come to fruition. We live in that in-between. And we will shake our fingers. We will ask how long. God has invited us to this place, surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ who are on this same journey, who are waiting for the same thing, asking the same questions, not by accident, but so we can walk beside one another. We can point those signs out and say, "Wait a minute, you're not seeing something. Wait a minute, God is here. Let us pray together. Let us walk together. Let us learn together. Let us work together. Let us seek God's promises together." And who will remind us that along the journey we may never get to where the promises are fulfilled in our lifetime? We may never see more than glimpses of them ourselves. But by doing those practices of faith together, by opening our eyes and seeking God's Spirit, we can see the mountains in the distance and keep walking towards them. What's credited to Abram, and it's talked about in Hebrew, is a faith that survives and thrives in the midst of questions and doubts, in the midst of challenging circumstances, in the midst of not getting to where you think you need to be yet. It's a faith that says, "Okay, God, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I trust you." So Abram continued on his journey to what was next. Those doubts crept in again. There were challenges. He made wrong choices. But his faith was still credited to him even centuries later. You too will have questions and doubts. You too will make wrong choices along the way. But like Abram, your faith too will be credited to you because you're making the journey, traveling along the way, trusting in God's promises. Ultimately, Abram's journey from Abram to Abraham, from barren in a land that he was not supposed to stay in, to a land flowing and promised, shows that God's promises are sure and will come in God's timing. And we are called to trust and maintain our faith and walk along that journey, knowing that God is faithful. So in the midst of doubt, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of being unsure of what's next, let us hold on to God's promises, confident that the God who began a good work in us, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, will carry us on to completion. What a gracious God, we stand before you humbly, knowing that you are there and knowing that you care enough to listen, trusting in your presence and your promises to never leave us or abandon us or forsake us, no matter what we have done or left undone. Trusting that you are in the lives of the people that we have lifted up this day. Trusting that you are in the lives of those who weigh heavily on our hearts that we could not give voice to. Trusting that you are in the lives of those in our community who are hurting, who are struggling, who are feeling lonely, facing and hurting from addiction, from the brokenness.
Don't let them make you there, thinking that you are surprised by them, or you had not heard of them. Any of these things, we might be reminded of your trust,
reminded of your faithfulness, to cry out to you when we have no idea what to do or say. For those who are grieving, today,
we ask that you give them comfort, trust in the promises that you have provided. The days who follow you will never be lost, and we will be reunited once again. We pray for those who are in need of healing. We pray for those who are being cared for by loved ones, by doctors and nurses. We ask that your wisdom to be upon them, that through their hands, your spirit may work, bring the healing that they need and the fairness and fairness of life that they seek. An answer of a lifetime of prayer that they seem to have gone astray, or never abandoned by you,
that your spirit was always there, calling out to them, inviting them to hear you, to follow you,
And we seek to share your good news with others,
not to lift ourselves up, not to make us ourselves feel better, but knowing that the life change that we have experienced, the having you in our lives and knowing you in our lives, is a blessing.
And we seek that for others, that they may experience a fullness of life that only you can provide, and only a journey as with you.
So as we share our good news, we don't see so to spread fear
or to turn people to you because they're afraid of what will happen if they don't, because of our love for them.
May this shape how we speak to one another. May this shape how we share our good news, your good news with others.
May this shape how we invite others to follow you,
because we do not know who is ready,
who is not,
who will answer the call and who won't. We have no control over whose life will be changed.
We know that your voice is crying out to them, preparing their heart, and you have not given us the path. And we walk beside them,
to point out to where we see you,
and show you, and invite them, and to them you have experienced what we have experienced. We pray for our church,
that in all we do, we may share that good news. We might connect with the hurting and the lost, the suffering, the doubting and the questioning.
Help us to know them.
Help us to walk beside them.
Help us to connect with them. Whatever way that they have been feeling the connection, reconciliation, we continue to pray for them. We get closer and closer to the challenges, the pain, and the suffering.
Fear
and anxiety, and the impact that it has Thunder by war and acts of violence. There's the lives that live in fear, lack medical care, seizures. There's who live under death, government, who seek power from citizens. There's who have persecuted the chaos, where they were born, the color of their skin, their gender, who they love, who belong to them, and who they have lived. But be a part of the kingdom work, you can fear and man. You can see it, you can breathe, and that's the only thing. And that's the only thing that I work for the story of the story. That's the only thing that I say is fear. That's the only promise that you have made that we may never see, and I can't. That's it, that makes the journey and the work.
And in those times where life struggles, the challenges seem so
and impossible, when our words can, let us pray as our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you so much for joining me on this faith journey today. I hope that the sermon reflections have touched your heart and brought you closer to understanding the profound love and faithfulness of God, even in times of doubt and waiting. If today's message resonated with you, I encourage you to share it with your friends and family or leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps us reach more souls and spread the message of hope and love through Jesus Christ. Additionally, if anyone has a prayer request, I invite you to visit our website at berwynumc.org/prayer. There, you can submit your own prayer requests and also take a moment to pray for others in our community who are in need of your support. Stay connected with us for more sermons, prayers, and reflections. As we part ways for now, let us seek to walk in the light of God's grace, embracing the call to trust in His promises and to express our faith, even in doubt.